Hello, this is Fay Emerson. I want to tell you a true story about someone whom we'll call Kitty Sullivan. Kitty works in the ladies' washroom of a popular restaurant. She's the washroom attendant, the matron. She hands people soap, a towel, maybe some hand lotion. When she started, she didn't think she'd like the job. But she does, rather.
I meet nice people. Some are not so nice. But then I think, well, there's something on their mind, something worries them, and they just can't help if they're not so gracious. But on the whole, they're nice.
Once upon a time, Kitty studied law at New York University Law School. The ladies who come to Kitty's restaurant washroom and perhaps tip her for her services probably don't suspect anything like that. Because Kitty is old now, in her 80s. She's living on her Social Security and earning something extra with her work. And Kitty appreciates that because she needs money for a special project that I'll tell you about later. This is one of a series of programs called Crossroads, stories of people at certain great crossroads in their lives. Kitty's working life began, believe it or not, 74 years ago. She remembers it this way. It was just before President Garfield was assassinated, 1881.
I went to work very young, because in those days you could go to work as young as 8 or 9 years old. Some factories in the States, they took children as young as that. I worked in Stearns as a cash girl. I got $1.50 a week. And then there was a rule where we could get $1.75 after 3 months and $2 after 6 months. But I was lucky in this, that when the 3 months was up, they decided to give us all $2 instead of waiting 6 months. And then one day, Mr. Isaac Stern had been on a European trip. And when he came back, I went up to see him one evening. And I said, "Good evening, Mr. Stern. I'm glad to see you back." Now, I wasn't diplomatic, a bit diplomatic, because if I had, when he said, "Why?" I should have said, "Because it's nice to see you," but I wasn't a bit diplomatic. I'm not a diplomat. I said, "Well, I'd like to have more wages, more salary." Imagine that. After saying I was glad to see him back, instead of saying, "It's nice to have you back," or something like that. Well, that's what I did. So then I told him that I had a mother, and she had 5 children. My father had died, and I was the oldest at home. See, brothers get married. Anyway, the result of that interview meant that I got $1.50 more a week. Wasn't that nice? So I was getting $4.50 then instead of $3. Wasn't that nice? That was a nice increase. I never forgot that, how nice Mr. Stern was. See, he thought of the widow with her children. He was very lovely.
And so Kitty was launched on a business career during the presidency of James Garfield. She worked steadily year after year. But meanwhile, she also studied, taking night courses. And about the time that President Benjamin Harrison came into office, Kitty got her high school diploma through night courses. As Grover Cleveland entered the White House for his second term, Kitty was studying shorthand and the still very new art of typewriting. And this won her a job as secretary with a manufacturing firm. Then, early in this century, Kitty took college courses at New York University, and this led to a scholarship at the NYU Law School. Kitty entered law school but never finished. Other matters claimed her time and earnings. Her younger sister, during these years, had grown up, married, had a daughter, and died. The husband had also died, and Kitty's young niece was alone in the world. The year, 1911.
Of course, the responsibility then fell on me. So I sent her to private school for her primary, almost all of her primary, and her high school and her college.
Raising her niece and giving her the best possible education became Kitty's great adventure. Kitty's work as a secretary, Monday to Saturday, year after year, made the adventure possible. In 1922, the niece graduated from high school. In 1926, from college. 3 years later, the girl got married and, before long, had 2 children. But meanwhile, came the stock market crash. It was hard for the young couple, but harder for Kitty. Her company went out of business. In her 60s, Kitty was out of a job. When the Social Security law was passed in 1935, it meant nothing to her. Having no job, she wasn't covered. Then, at last, came a new chance. The washroom job.
I got my present job because I prayed for something to do. And one morning, I generally went to church when I wasn't working. I mean, on weekdays. One morning, I was on my way to church, and then I thought, before I'd go, I was early, that I'd stop in the Safeway, which is around the corner, to see if they had a certain kind of soup that I wanted. And if I thought, if they don't have it, then after church, I'll go to A&P. And that's the first time that I did that. It was most remarkable. It was a perfect answer to prayer. Nobody can tell me anything different. Because I had never been inspired to stop like that before. And while we were there, there were two windows. Some people were on one side and some on the other. And the man, the safe was in the window. He was trying to open it and he was having difficulty. So this lady next to me said, well, I don't feel like waiting any much longer. She says, three of us have to go to work. And I said, you might just as well wait. I said, I think he's getting it now. So he was getting it. So I said, told her I was looking for work. So she said, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I want to help you. That's it. I want to help you. Wasn't that nice of her?
The woman gave her information about the available job. But when Kitty learned what kind of a job it was, she hesitated.
In fact, I didn't want to take it. I resented it. To think I should be matron? I never thought of such a thing. So for 3 days, I didn't go to see about it.
Then she heard that the job was still open. Perhaps, after all, she should apply. Kitty swallowed her pride and decided to go.
I went there to the office, and the woman said, I told the woman what I wanted. She gave me the application. And I don't know whether I ought to tell this part or not about the age and business. It's kind of interesting. So I said to her, when I came to the date of birth on the application, do I have to tell my true age? And she said, oh, I don't care what you put down. So I put down, a terrible difference. The same month and day, but 20 years difference. 20 years, the nerve of me. My goodness. And then I didn't know I was putting myself in for Social Security. But when I got my first pay envelope, I saw they'd taken off something for Social Security. My goodness, I thought, what have I done? I never thought of this. I never thought of Social Security, date of birth. See, I never thought of that when I was putting down the date of birth.
One of the things that worried Kitty was this. Would she be unable to collect any benefits for years and years because of the misstatement?
Oh, yes. That was very important. I thought I wouldn't be able to collect until I was 65, according to the record that I gave the company. Imagine that.
On the advice of a friend, Kitty went to the Social Security office to put the records straight, and the Social Security records were corrected. A few years later, Kitty reached 65. She could have retired and drawn small, regular retirement benefits, but she decided to keep on working. Year after year, she worked. She became reconciled to her job.
During the day, I don't have to do the rough work. That's done before I come in. That is the cleaning of the floor. And then during the day, I keep the toilet covers nice, and I keep the place tidy in case the papers are thrown around. We have some paper towels, some linen towels, and if customers come in, if they have to come in to dollop, they come in at intervals, and I just wait for them. I sit down a good deal. I'm up and down, and I have different kinds of people to wait on. Some are perfect ladies. They always have their own cosmetics. They never have to ask me if I have powder or if I have rouge, or as one woman asked me the other day, had I Vicks? So I thought, what is this? If I come to be a drugstore, Vicks. So I have hand lotion, and I have a lot of other little things, cotton and Band-Aid and various little things like that. The Band-Aids they provide. The cotton, some little things I provide myself. The hand lotion I provide.
Today, Kitty, in her 80s, still plans to keep working. Being over 72, she also gets Social Security benefits, even while working. Now, that helps her with the pet project that I mentioned a while ago. And this is it. Her niece's two children are almost grown, and Kitty has been helping to put them through college.
And now her daughter, whom I provided for, is graduating from college in June, and her boy, whom I'm providing for, who's already provided for, I put the money aside, is in first year college, and he finished college. So that's three college educations and a home, a house, for my niece and her family. All that I paid for. But isn't it nice? It's often nice not to have money, but to feel you've done something useful.
Kitty Sullivan, more than 15 years a washroom matron, can feel a wonderful pride in what she's done. She says that Social Security took the fear out of old age, and that because of this, she felt no hesitation about the new adventure of her later days. And that explains why she feels as she does about Social Security.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful incentive to work, to help. You feel that, well, you have that much, and you can spend a little more, maybe. At least you feel certain of a place to sleep and something to eat when you get to be 65. Instead of going with your hat in your hand to some charity organization or to the police station and tell them you haven't got any money, you haven't got any place to stay, whereas you get your check every month and you're sure you'll be accepted someplace. And it makes us happy and more contented in our work. And if sometimes if something disagreeable happens, we say, oh, well, that was yesterday. Don't forget about it. We're just going on. I'm not going to throw up this job because there's some ugly fellow in it. And maybe I'm ugly, too. I'm just going to do the best I can and build up that Social Security because I'm building up a nice saving for my years when I can't work any longer.
This is the story of an unusual woman. But Kitty's desire to provide for her old age and for her loved ones is common to all of us. And that's why Social Security is so important to us. And here is the Commissioner of Social Security, Mr. Charles I. Shotland.
Many men and women over 65 are, like Kitty, still working because they want to. After 65, you can earn as much as $1,200 annually and receive benefits for all 12 months of the year. After 72, you can, like Kitty, be paid all your monthly benefits, regardless of the amount of your earnings. If someone in your family is 65 or over, tell him to get in touch with his nearest Social Security office to find out about his rights, even if he doesn't plan to stop working right now.
This is Fay Emerson inviting you to listen again to Crossroads, stories from the files of the Social Security Administration. The program was produced for the United States Department of Health, Education, and Welfare by the Center for Mass Communication at Columbia University. Kitty's story was edited by Eric Barno. Thank you.